so awesome. Now remember, we'll go back into Revelation next week, but this is the finishing from last week, and from what I can tell, it has been right on time. So let's get this thing going here before we go. It just disappeared into cyberspace. Here we go. Oh, no wonder, because I was trying to move it. I shouldn't have done that. All right, let's get it going here. All right, here we go. Get your Bible out. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. God is so awesome. All the time, God is awesome. All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say oh me? Everybody stand for the reading of the word. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is the last time you're going to have to stand unless you just get so excited you want to run. And that'll be okay. If you start running, I promise you I'll run with you. Some guy said, I won't run unless something's chasing me. I said, well, I pray the Holy Ghost chases you today then. All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it came to pass, verse 1, and it came to pass this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them on the other side, beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazo-Tamar, which is in En-Jedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? Rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou God, our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel and give us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. Somebody say, God gave us a possession. Somebody say that. Now look at somebody else and say, then keep it. Somebody tell I keep it. Amen. And they dwell in, have built thee a sanctuary in thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but thou turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come out, cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against them, this great company that cometh against us, neither know what we are to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Some of you in here right now, you're saying this. Look, if I put this in English. Stuff's happening in my life that I cannot help, I cannot control, and I don't know what to do. That's just putting it in English, okay? Possum track talk. Stuff's happening I cannot control, I cannot fix, and I don't know what to do. Anybody like that this morning? Amen. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and thy children. Let's just stop it right there for right now. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, God, that you are alive and you are on the throne. And Father, I know, Lord, that times come in our life where we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to handle it. Anything we say and do sometimes seems like it's wrong. And so we just choose to sit back. And then if we're not careful, we'll miss what you're trying to do. So show us, God. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. And help us to make a difference in somebody's life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. I'm going to finish up from last week. You know, a guy comes into a coffee shop and places his order. He says, I want 3 flat tires and a pair of headlights. The waitress not wanting to appear stupid goes to the kitchen. You ever ordered those? The waitress not wanting to appear stupid goes to the kitchen and asks the cook, this guy out there just ordered 3 flat tires and a pair of headlights. What does he think this is, an auto parts store? No, the cook says, 3 flat tires means 3 pancakes. And a pair of headlights means he wants 2 eggs sunny side up. Oh, said the waitress. She had to be from Possum Track. Oh, said the waitress. She thought about it for a while, and then she spoons up a bowl of beans and gives it to the customer. The guy says, what are the beans for? The waitress said, I thought that while you were waiting for your flat tires and headlights, you might want to gas up. All right. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about overcoming the deflated attitude. I got a few slides, just a few from last week, just so we can have some continuity. So you know where we're coming from if you weren't here last week or didn't see it on Facebook. Jehoshaphat was facing a real threat. Moab, once defeated by him, now triples its strength and it comes back. Somebody say, Satan does not play dead very well. He's coming back. He's coming back. Even Jesus, after he came out of the wilderness, the Bible said the devil left him alone for what? A season. Just a season. I'm going to tell you something. There's seasons in your life where you might think things are going really, really good, and you're going, wow, this is awesome. And that's the season when he's not around you, not trying to get you. But I promise you, and I'm not trying to be a doom and gloom man, but I'm telling you that he knows his seasons, and he knows when to come back and come back with force. And that's why it's happening here. So this unexpected threat produced real fear, and the fear deflated his spirit. And let me just talk about this deflated spirit, then we're going to go in to this morning's message. What is a deflated spirit or deflated attitude? I'm glad you asked. Fear rises up in your life, usually from unexpected circumstances, and it takes the wind out of your sail. You're not depressed yet. I mean, you're not ready to call it quits. You're not ready to just to quit everything and go climb in a hole somewhere. But now, the wind's out of your sail. Where you were up and running, where you were up doing good, and you felt God's presence and God's power, and you knew God was working in your life, and you just knew that God had everything together for you. All of a sudden now, doubt comes in because the wind has been taken out of your sail. So, when this happens, this deflated attitude exaggerates your problem and it minimizes your power because it confuses your faith. It deflates your faith, your hope, and your expectation. And if left unattended, it will drive depression. All right? So, if we took a depression test right now for some of y'all, go, no, you're not depressed. What's going on? Why do they feel so bad? It's because the wind has been taken out of your sail. Your want to is gone. The get up and go has then got up and went. Okay? So when you get to this point, it drives you to a decision point. Stay in confusion looking for an answer. Or do I take it to the one who is the answer? So now that's getting ready. We're getting ready to jump into the new stuff. Ready? Let's just go one step further here, okay? How do I inflate a deflated spirit? You know, one day I was, I keep an inflator in my car, and that thing has worked for years. And one day on the way out of Greenville, I was on the way home, and I was leaving Pitt Detention Center. I stopped and got supper, and it was, I don't know, like 3:30, 4 o'clock, quarter after 4, something. And I heard a noise, and I said, wait a minute, that's a tire. And so I'm going down 264, and I go down a side road where you really can't see unless you really look. You couldn't see me because I was way down this road out of the way. I don't like getting run over. I don't know about y'all, but, you know, that's not on my to-do list. It's not on my bucket list. Oh, I'm going to get run over today. And so I pull out, and I got my car, of course. I had some stuff in the trunk. You know, anybody got junk in the trunk? That is a sermon coming up too, junk in the trunk. Amen. But I had junk in the trunk, and so here I'm on the side of the road. I'm pulling out, looking like I'm having a yard sale right there on the side of the road. And first off, before I did that, though, I grabbed my inflator. And when I went to inflate that tire, my inflator blew a fuse. So here I am, now it's starting to rain. I'm deflated. So I start looking for another answer. So I start pulling the junk out of the trunk. At least it all got washed. Put it on the side of the road. And I pull out my spare tire. You know those little bitty donuts? I've got a 2004. It hadn't been pulled out ever. So I take that and that little itty bitty jack that looks like come out of a box of Cracker Jacks. And forever spinning that thing, getting wet. And I jack up the car and stick that tire on it and put it down, that tire's flat. So not only am I deflated, I'm in double deflated. Still not depressed. So I call Linda and I say, Linda, I'm out here. You got to find me. We got that thing on our phone so we can find each other. So you got to find me. I'm out here 264 down the side road. You got to come pick me up. I got to take the tire to go get it looked at. And so then I get in my car and watch this. And I said, you know, I forgot one person to talk to. I know y'all never have that problem. Y'all were so holy. Y'all might need to adjust your halo while we're talking, okay? And I said, Lord, you're more powerful than this. Yes, I've got a deflated tire and I've got a deflated spare tire. Everything I got is deflated, but I'm not going to get depressed. I said, Lord, show me your power and your might. I'm not even going to call. I'm just going to let you show me your power. I said, God, I don't know if Daniel's even working today. I don't know what time he gets off. But Lord, it would be awesome for you just to show off and let him come and help me. And I got in the car and I closed the door. And I said, amen, and this big old black truck pulls right up behind me. First, I thought it was a state patrolman. Then I thought somebody was looking for the yard sale. And it was Daniel. I had just prayed it. He said, hey, Pops, you got a problem? No, Daniel, I just thought I'd go over here to the yard sale. And so Daniel gets up, and he takes the tire, and he says, just let me do it. He takes the tire, we go to town, we get it all fixed, we come back, he puts it back, I don't have to touch a thing. And I said, isn't God so awesome that in your moment when you're deflated, times two, that he shows up like that? Very, very powerful. So here it is. How do we get beyond a deflated attitude or deflated spirit? How do we get our wind back? How do we find our strength to get back into the battle? Because some of us, we've had our hands slapped. We've had our fingers stuck in the trap. We've had all kinds of things happen. We're battle weary. We got scars and we're wondering, I don't know if I want to get back out there because I'm not sure. Well, there's three ways to handle the deflated spirit. Here's where we stopped last week. And this is where we're going to take up the new stuff. Ready? There's three ways to handle the deflated spirit. Some of these, I've done all three. I don't know about y'all. Remember, y'all got to adjust your halo. Matter of fact, you might want to hold your hand over your halo when I say this. So you'll say, well, at least he did it. I didn't. Okay? Number one, you can deny it. I like it doesn't exist. I'm fine. Really? Oh, there's no problem here. You're on the side of the road. You ain't got a tire. It's flat. Your spare is flat. Your junk in the trunk is down the side of the road. You look like a rotten yard sale. You mean you were denying you got a deflated spirit? Some of y'all. Some of your halos just started getting crooked. Or you can fry. You get overcome by fear and you start doing, okay, I'm going to use a Hebrew word. You take stuff in your own hands and you start doing, this is Hebrew, did you know this? Stupid stuff. You try to fix it yourself and you know what you actually do? You make a bigger problem. Because you're trying to fix it. And guess what? You can't fix it. And so you make matters worse. Then there's rely. You can rely, set yourself, seek the Lord, and watch how God does. When I set my, look, I'm in the trunk, I'm going through everything, and then when I finally say, you know what, I'm just going to ask you, God, just show your power. And here comes Daniel. What's up, Pops? Let's get this thing working for you. He said, he was riding down the road, and he said, I don't normally look down this road. He said, but I'm riding down the road. And he said, I felt this need to look down the road. And I looked down the road, and I said, is that my dad? What's he doing down there? What's that junk in the trunk? And so then he pulls up, comes back around, and pulls right back in behind me. So get ready. Get ready. Ready? I'm just going to be quick about this so we can, because there's so much. I could break this down and make a whole series out of it. I'm not. I'm just going to go through it. And some of y'all, go ahead. Y'all look at somebody and say, hang on. Hang on. Ready? Get ready. Now, here he is. They're deflated. They've got, look, it's hard enough to take on one enemy, but now you got three. Some of y'all right now say, well, I could handle it if I just had one problem, but do you know how many problems I got going at once? You know, the average person has between 10 to 12 problems at one time anyway. Did you know that? You think, well, I don't have any problems. Well, that's your first one. You may be denying it. 10 to 12 problems each. Can you imagine if you're married and your 10 to 12 problems are not the same 10 to 12 problems your wife's got or your kids have got? Do you know how many problems now you got? Wow. So here we go. Watch this. Here's what he did. The very first thing he did, and then we're going to take a kind of battle of this. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position. See the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. God has never lost a battle. You know that? Have you ever known God lose a battle? Never. Ever. So let's go. Let's get ready to go. So prep. Here's the prep. First, he called. He opened his mouth. He called. Now watch what he did. First thing he did was he called a fast. Wait a minute. He called a fast, yeah, because he wants to talk to God, but he knows in order to talk to God, he better get serious. This isn't time for what? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord that you beat all them people beat. No, he wanted to get serious. How many's ever had problems and you lost your appetite? Well, guess what? That's not fasting. Losing your appetite is a sign that it's getting to you. So if losing your appetite, and I've done it too. We all do. Every last one of us. So I'm trying to tell you how to get out of it. Instead of losing your appetite, which is a negative thing, why don't you try fasting? That's a positive thing. Fasting means you don't have to push aside food. Push aside something. But push aside something. Say, God, I want to talk to you so bad, and I need you so much, and I know it's affecting me that I'm going to get me out of my way. That's what fasting is. It gets you out of the way. So first, he calls fast. And then he calls upon God. We just read the prayer. He stood in the congregation and he called God. But not only did he involve the right people. And of course, it started right away. He got the people together and he talked about it. And then, of course, it said all Judea. And ended with all Judea stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Let me tell you something about a deflated spirit. Sometimes we get a deflated spirit and we go to the wrong people. I hope you wore your steel toe. How many times do you get a problem with Tom and you go to Harry to talk about your problem with Tom? I'm not talking about counseling. There's a difference. There's counseling. You come to me. It's not that you're tattletaling, it's that you're asking, how do I handle it? That's a whole different thing. I'm not talking about counseling. I'm talking about Tom hurt my feelings, so telling Tommy hurt my feelings, I tell Harry. Harry may think he's got all the answers, and he may tell you what Tom's thinking. Another problem is, he don't know what Tom's thinking. I did hear one guy one day, it was so funny. I was counseling some people one time, And the guy told me, he said, my wife got some new hearing aids. She said, they're so good, she can hear what I'm thinking when I'm out in the backyard under the shelter. I'd like to have some of them hearing aids. Amen. So, doesn't mean you can't go to people for support. You do, but let that be the last thing. And nothing else, just I need prayer. I'm going to go to Harry and say, I need prayer. And they go, what's going on? Well, just know that I need some prayer right now. And when I feel led, I'll fill you in. But until right now, I just need prayer. The first thing you need to do is talk to God. Number one, talk to God. Then number two, involve the right people. Instead of going to Harry, why don't you go to Tom? I'm not saying Tom's going to be ready. I'm not saying Tom's whatever, but until you, that's why you go to God first. You go to God first because God works everything out. Then you go to Tom when you feel that God's worked it out. You go to Tom and talk to Tom. But that's the same way here. Jehoshaphat, it wasn't just Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was having a problem, but it involved his whole family. I'm talking about his whole family at large. And so first he goes to God. First he gets himself ready to hear. Then he goes to God. And then he involves the right people. Now, here's the prophecy. He calls, and God calls back. Wow. Isn't that awesome? And the first thing God says is, I love it. Watch this, we're in verse 14. After he calls God, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, Hark ye, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but it's God's. So watch what he says. Watch this. Number one, you don't have to be afraid or deflated. That's what dismayed means, deflated. Did you know that? This word I'm using for deflated, when I'm talking about having the wind out of your sail, that's what dismayed means. It means to break down by confusion or fear. It means literally to be beat down, discouraged, to cause to not be able to think, to have your wind out of your sail, to be deflated. He said, you don't have to be afraid. Of course, you know what fear is. You don't have to be afraid, and you don't have to let this fear deflate you. He said, because the battle is not yours, the battle is mine. So what he's telling me is, yeah, you're still going to have to do something. You got to do something, but don't do it on your own. Don't try to figure it out on your own. He said, Jehoshaphat, you let me give you the plans. You follow my plans. And if you follow my plans, yes, you're still going to have to do something, but the struggle is not yours, it's mine. So the next thing he was saying is, when he said the struggle's mine, what that says is you don't have to go it alone. A lot of times when we get deflated, we think we're in this by ourselves. We can't talk to anybody. We can't say anything. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. We can't figure it out. Go to God. Number one, no matter what kind of battle you're in, let me tell you something. How many parents have we got in here? Let me ask you a question. If your child has a problem, is it just your child's problem or do you get involved? Why? Because of my children when they were little, when they had a problem, I had a problem. Even now, they're a lot older. They're 40 down. But you know what? When they got a problem, I got a problem. Just I handle it differently now because they're adults. But when they were little, they had a problem, I had a problem. And I was involved in every last one of them, okay? So you don't have to go it alone. God wants to get involved in your struggle, and he wants to take the reins. That's what he's saying. Let me get involved in your struggle. Let me get involved in what's deflating you, and let me take the reins. And when I take the reins, you don't feel like you got to do it by yourself. So then next, let's keep on going here, is the praise. So God tells him, you ain't got to go it alone. He says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, you go ahead and position yourself where I tell you, and then you stand. Don't let fear and don't let that deflated spirit cause you to run. You stand. Because when you work my plan, you're not going to have to run. When you work my plan, there's going to be a solution. When you work my plan, something's going to happen, but the biggest thing is you're going to get the wind back in your sail. Okay? So the praise is first, he calls God, God calls back, then God and Jehoshaphat call the enemy. Because watch this, I love it, I love it, I love it. Oh, Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with thee. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. In other words, if you're going to believe what God says, you can stand still. You can stand strong. You can know that whatever God told you, you can take it to the bank. If God gives you a promise, it's good as done. You may not see it at the time, but if God gives you a promise, it is good as done. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now let me just do this a little different here. Ready? First, the order. They're fighting an army three times plus their size and strength. Three times their size. And so God gives them battle directions. The order is, I don't want you to put your army out front. I want you to put your singers out front. Wait a minute. Do you understand we are outnumbered, outgunned? Yes. But now's not the time. I did it my way. Regrets? I have a few. And Frank Sinatra saying this, but then again, too few to mention. Not me. Regrets, I have a few. And if I had a big book, I still couldn't mention them all. Put the singers out front. It should have sparked something. I'm pretty sure it did, because in the wilderness, whenever they traveled in the wilderness, whenever Moses said, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Guess who got in front? Judah. You know what Judah means? Praise. Whenever they moved in the wilderness, they were always led forth with praise. And so now they're going into battle. And God says, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to go in this battle praising me, not praising the enemy. Oh, come on now. I want you to go in this battle. You've got a deflated spirit. And if you go in this battle with that deflated spirit, you're going to be praising the enemy. You know you're outnumbered. You know you're outgunned. But if you go in the battle the way I tell you, and you praise me, something different is going to happen. And so there was the order. And then here's the action. I love it. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were coming to Judah, and they were smitten. Wait a minute. Let's watch how God does this. And watch this. And let's keep on going. The reaction. For the children of Ammon stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Mount Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. In other words, look at this. Isn't this crazy? Three times your strength, three times your power is coming against you. But instead of putting the army out front, you put the singers out front. You praise God because you're praising God, not the enemy. And when the enemy sees you praising God versus them, they can't stand it. And so the enemy turned on each other and they consumed themselves while God's people are just praising. Wow! They're praising God and those guys are beating themselves to death. Some of y'all in here are beating yourself to death. You need to be praising God and watch the enemy beat theirself to death. Are you tired of getting beat up? Are you tired of being deflated? Are you tired of problems dragging you down and dragging you through the mud? Quit trying to fight the enemy because you cannot. He is a spiritual giant. But we serve one who created him. And when we praise God, the enemy cannot come against you because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Get it in the proper order. Praise God first and watch what happens. So now, I love this. This is so awesome. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Wow. If they had done it their way, that would have been a whole different outcome. You got to put praise up front. You got to learn to God. Let God arise. I love, listen to this. I love this, the message. Then the prophet moved by the Spirit of God to speak into the midst of the congregation, and he said, attention, everyone, all of y'all. He had to be Southern, all y'all. All y'all from out of town, all y'all from Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, God's word. Don't be afraid, don't pay any mind to this vandal horde. This is God's war, not yours. Tomorrow you will go after them. See, they're already on their way to the slopes of Ziz. You will meet them at the end of the ravine near the wilderness of that place. And you won't have to lift a hand in this battle. Just stand firm, Judah and Jerusalem, and watch God's saving work for you take shape. Don't be afraid. Don't waver. March out boldly tomorrow, for God is with you. And I'm here to tell you something right now. If you're in here right now and you got a deflated spirit, I can't fix it. I don't even know how to tell you to fix it. But one thing I can tell you is God's got this. God's got this. Tell somebody God's got this. Come on. God's got it. Amen. Yes. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found amongst them an abundance, both with riches, with dead bodies, and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Whoa! It took them 3 days to take off the spoil because they put God first. Now I want to back up and just talk for a minute about something else. You know, the praise, there's power in praise. Man, there's power in praise. There's a progression of praise, too. I want you to see this, and then get ready to end, okay? I said getting ready. Don't get praising that thought. Praise God, amen. But don't praise the thought we're getting out of here in like 2 minutes. All right. The progression of praise. Watch something here. This is very powerful. The first time they praise, in verse 19, and the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. This means to celebrate, to sound and look foolish as you thank God for the harvest. In other words, nothing's even happened yet. They're still facing that threat. They still have a deflated spirit. They still have a deflated spirit. But even through the deflated spirit, they begin to praise God anyway and thank Him for the harvest because they knew God's got this. All right? Then the next time, verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness, and he went out before the army and said, praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. Now let me just show you something here. This is Yada praise. Yada praise is when you take your hands and you raise them. So first, watch this. It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of intimacy. It's a sign of receiving. Can you imagine how crazy those enemy got when instead of expecting machine guns and the Green Beret and the special forces to come up and take care of business. All of a sudden, these singers come out and go, "Praise God. Praise God, for His mercy endures forever. Praise God. Praise God, for His mercy endures forever." Can you imagine how that even looked? No, they were surrendering. They were, but they were surrendering to God. Not to them, to God. And it's amazing what happened. Those guys got so fired up, they killed each other. You know what? Y'all try this with me. Watch this. This is Yacht of Praise. Y'all try this from time to time. I tell you what, though, if you do it in your car at a stoplight, people think you've had it. Watch this. "I surrender to You, O God." Praise God. "I need You, my Heavenly Father, and I praise You. I'm receiving from You, God, because I don't have the answer. Wow. I'm surrendering because I don't know what to do. I've got to have Your touch. I need to receive from You." And when they did that, wow, what happened? And then finally, in 22, it says, "And when they began to sing praises, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And when their coming to Judah, they were smitten for the children of Ammon and stood up against each other in Mount Seir." But anyway, about it, the word praise at the end of that was, it means it's Tehillah, which means it was good as done. Good as done. I don't see it, but it's good as done. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things in my life right now. I don't see it, but it's good as done. Absolutely, good as done. Now we're getting ready to close. There's seven things here that God told Jehoshaphat that He tells every one of us in your battle. Okay? I'm just going to be quick about it. I know you say you've never been quick about anything. Oh, yeah, you didn't see me go down the road. Yeah. Amen. Ready? Here we go. Let's see here. Let's get to 15. Here we go. Number one, do not fear. He said, do not be afraid. When you're in the battle, check your emotions. Do you know the Bible says that your emotions, your heart is a deceitful thing? Jeremiah says that in 17. He says your heart is deceitful. Your emotions will play tricks on you. Your emotions will cause you to do things you shouldn't do. You're trying to fight the battle. But instead of being strong and firm fighting the battle, you let your emotions get in the way. And when your emotions get in the way, you throw everything you know you need to do out the window because your emotions are so powerful. Number two, do not be dismayed. In other words, don't be deflated. Check yourself mentally. Am I being deflated right now? Am I speaking from a deflated voice? Is the wind knocked out of my sail? The battle isn't yours, it's mine. Check your position. Are you trying to fight or are you standing behind God and let Him fight? Are you trusting God to fight this? Are you telling God to slide out of the way and you fix what I mess up, God? Versus, okay, you're in front, God, I'm behind you. And then, He says, set yourself. Check your courage. Can you stand and wait for God to do something? There's the hard one. I saw some big gulps then. And I'm not talking about drinks. From the fast fare. Can you stand still and keep your hands out of it and let God work it? Can you set yourself? Y'all going to shout me down before we get through this. Stand still. Check your steadfastness. I can depend on God, but can God depend on me? See the salvation of the Lord. Check your faith. Without faith, you're not going to see it. And then finally, face the enemy with confidence. Tomorrow you're going to go out against him. The Lord will be with you. Check your obedience. When he tells you to step forward, are you going to step forward? There's something you got to remember. The task ahead of you is never as great as the power behind you. Wow. Everybody stand. Brandon, come play something for us. The task ahead of you is never greater than the power behind you. Jeannie showed me something this morning I thought was so awesome. You'll see it in Mighty Army, not tomorrow, but the next day or so. And that is, let me see if I can get it right. I don't want to mess it up. I don't know if y'all, but I sometimes get things a little mixed up. Here you go. An army of sheep led by a lion can defeat an army of lions led by a sheep. Wow. It's powerful. Think about that. You'll see it in a couple of days. An army of sheep led by a lion, that's us, then God get out front, can defeat an army of lions led by a sheep. Believe it or not, Satan is a sheep when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. With all the things that's going on around us, and honestly, I'm not even sure what's going on half the time, because just things just get crazier and crazier and crazier. We're being told not to believe what we used to believe, and we're told we need to believe what they want us to believe now, and blah, blah, blah. And then with the, you know, just like something simple, not simple, but the Emmaus Walk was canceled for a whole year. They were going to have the Emmaus Walk this September. And they had a meeting yesterday because of the rise in the new variant. They canceled it. So it's not even going to be having the Emmaus Walk this year. It's going to be next year because of that variant. Some days I go to the hospital to let me in. Some days I go to the hospital, I can't go in. Sometimes I can go see somebody. Sometimes I can't. Depends on what my armband has to say, a certain name for me to go see that person. I can't see anybody else because of this COVID stuff and all the mess that's happening around us and all the, it just drives me crazy, all the stuff that's happening around us. If we're not careful, we're going to go out into battle and praise the enemy. When you fight him on your own, you're praising the enemy. But when you fight him God's way, you're praising God. I like what the word hallelujah means. Hallelujah means praise be the strong one. Praise be to the strong one. Wow. God's got this. We're going to be talking about the horses next week, and you're going to see what's happening. It's unfolding right before our eyes. It's there. You can say, well, they've been talking about it for thousands. No, this is now. This is here. Here it is. It's coming. It's here. But we don't have to be dismayed, deflated, because God's got this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First, I want to say, is there anybody here that would just say, look, me and God, we ain't got it together right now. I've allowed stuff to happen. I've allowed myself to be deflated. All this stuff's going on. And I haven't gotten closer to God. I've gotten further from God through all of this. And I just need to get back with Him like I should be. With nobody looking around, every eye closed. I just want you just to put it back hand quickly and put it back down. I'm not exactly where I want to be, and I really need God to help me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Maybe you're here today, and you're like Jehoshaphat was. Everything's going good, and now you've found yourself, you have a deflated spirit. The wind was going strong in your sails for God, and now the wind has been taken away, and you feel yourself matter of fact, the sails are tattered and torn. And you're just needing God just to shore you up and shore you up and do something special in your life to help you through this as you get the wind back in your sails, as the sails get back where they belong. And I'm talking to you right now. You find yourself with that deflated spirit. You're needing God to help you through this. With nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you just put their hand up? Yes. I've been deflated. I have definitely been deflated. And maybe you're here right now. And either you know somebody that you're dealing with that's been deflated, or you know that if things don't change, you know the wind's going to come out of your sail soon, and you need God to help you get it back in order. I'm talking to you right now. With nobody looking, every eye closed, every head bowed, would you put the hand up? I see myself hidden that way. I got to do something. All right, here we're going to pray together, okay? We're going to do it this way. Y'all just follow me, okay? Lord, there's no one on this earth. There's no one in heaven or hell that's greater than you. God, I need you to do a work in my life. I rededicate myself to you. I trust you to help me be strong in this last day. I thank you, God, that although I may have a deflated spirit, it doesn't have to stay that way. I trust you. I will, with your help, no longer praise the enemy, but I will praise you when I go into battle. And I thank you for it. This day will forever be marked in my spirit as the day that I refuse to praise the enemy. And I will always, with your help, praise you first in every battle. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is good all the time. Remember this, y'all say this with me. The task ahead of you is never as great as the power behind you. Amen. Tuesday night.